Are Kyrie and James Harden going to sign their extension?
His trade value is not there. And when you hear reports...
Phil has been paid $16 million of his $33 million salary.
I know about people that have certain clauses
what
in their contract.
What happens next year with Giannis Antetokounmpo? He will be eligible for a Supermax next summer. If he re-signs, a new reality is the players are going to move around. And the players are not going to want to spend their whole, you know, life...
And because they didn't want to go into the penalty of the luxury tax, they traded James Harden. Somebody's going to be making $50 million.
He probably could have made a little bit more money this summer in free agency.
I think he could have got a lot more in the offseason. When you got a chance to secure the bag,
you secure it, man.
No question.
What's going on, party people? This is another episode of the Birdroids Podcast. I am here with Corbin Ford. You will probably hear this on the Ramble Ramble feed as well. Not only am I here with Corbin Ford, but Corbin and I are going to be doing... team, I suppose, off-season previews. We're going to do all 30 teams. Last year, I think we only did about 15 teams. We all planning on doing all 30 this year. So we're kicking it off with, we're trying to do reverse order of the standings. So with that said, we're starting with the Detroit Pistons. And who else better than the Detroit Pistons than Mr. Motor City Hoops himself? You have heard him on the Motor City Hoops podcast. You have heard him on the Game Theory podcast with Sam Vecina. He obviously is going to be the next great basketball mind coming from the Game Theory coaching tree. It is Bryce Simon. Corbin, hold 1 second. First of all, Bryce, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Steven. Corbin, Steven, nice to meet you first. Corbin, we go way back, man. Like it's we've been knowing each other for a couple years, actually been able to meet in person out at Summer League and all of that. So I'm excited to be here, guys. But after the intro, I'm a little disappointed that I'm your first one based on the way you decided to decide the order of events for your off-season previews. But hey, it is what it is with the Pistons, man. So it is a very interesting offseason coming up, to say the least. There could be a lot of moving parts, which we'll get all into today. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, the good news is, as you said, the season is over, Bryce. Now you have the lottery to look forward to, and you know some of these offseason moves we're going to talk about. Corbin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Listen, been a lot of basketball this weekend, a lot of basketball now. I have two good buddies of mine in the NBA in the basketball space between Bryce and Steven, so... You know, you can't get any better. Even after a 10-hour workday, I'm like, let's go. More hoops. Let's get it.
Okay. So let's start with the Pistons. I project about 2-4-7 teams to have, you know, not substantial cap space, but 7 teams to function as cap space teams this summer. The Pistons are by far number one in terms of, you know, the most cap space. I took this number from Spotrac. It said they had about $73 million in space. That seems like a bit too much based off my calculations. After you factor in, right now I put in the cap hold for the number one pick in the draft because that's where they are in the lottery. I have it at about $61 million. But either way, they have the most cap space of any team this summer. So, Bryce, my first question is regarding the rookie extensions. Let's talk about that, then we'll get into the cap space.
Okay.
So, Corbin and I, one of our mentors, Eric Pincus, of Sports Business Classroom, just released an article on Bleacher Report recently, basically talking about what rookies we anticipate, you know, getting rookie extensions, which ones we don't. Cade is an interesting one, because you would imagine he would want to get basically what LaMelo Ball got, and LaMelo Ball got the full 5-year, 25% max cap for the rookie extension. I mean... Bryce, given what you've seen, is that something you feel comfortable with? I mean, and do you anticipate Cade doing anything less?
I don't anticipate Cade doing anything less, and I don't think the Pistons have a choice, to be honest with you guys. I am a believer in Cade Cunningham being, if not the number one guy, like a 1A, like a 1B guy or something like that, or like a crazy high-level number two guy, something like that. Listen, if they don't believe in Cade Cunningham, I truly believe this. If they don't believe in Cade Cunningham enough to give him a rookie max extension, then they might as well blow this thing up and start all over again. Like at the end of the day, he's the only guy on this roster right now that I think that has that kind of upside. And if you don't think he has it, then you might as well like restart. Like, so I think one, I don't think they have any choice because I don't think anybody has the stomach or appetite to start this thing over. Two, I think he's pretty good. And I know people from the outside will point to efficiency and some things like that. Cade's pretty good. Does he have limitations athletically? Absolutely. But he is much better this year than what we've seen in the past. The three-point shot is better. The efficiency has been better. The turnovers started off really bad at the beginning of the year, got better throughout the year. So I think that's the path we're on, is to a max extension for Cade.
Corbin, do you think that's, first of all, do you agree with Chris? Because I tend to agree that not only is Cade taking anything less than the max, but that's going to be what it takes to get it done as well, and it likely will get done. Do you think that's where the Pistons go in terms of just giving the max extension now? Or do you think they're better off, you know, kind of waiting till restricted free agency for it to play itself out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm usually a proponent of, if a player has flashed the potential or kind of lived up even in moments to the potential given, don't play the restricted free agency game. Like, only thing that happens at that point, feelings can be hurt, that sort of thing, especially if they've halfway realized that potential. And I think Cade, I mean, this is the healthiest season he's had. Well, I mean, if he missed the rest of the season, he'll be just slightly under his rookie year in terms of appearances, right? But you did see, like, strong play at the beginning of the year, strong play in parts throughout the season. I mean, Bryce has watched every game for a year, so you know. But, like, basically, Cade's had a really much improved year, you know? Shot a career best from three this season. For his career, you know, finished at a career best than he's done in years past. Like, I think he's definitely shown, like Bryce said, like, if not the best, the 1B to, you know, really, really upper tier two. Think, like, in my mind, like a Chris Middleton, you know, with the Bucks, the championship years, where, like, you had, like, yes, Chris was great and Giannis was that much greater, but Chris was no slouch at all, right? Like, I can see Cade being that. Don't play with it. Like, give it to him. You know, I am the same person arguing about giving that to Jalen Green as well, though. So, I mean,
but. Yeah. I will say, though, Corbin, the Rockets are in a different scenario than the Pistons to me. I literally just said this on Game Theory the other night, is the Rockets have different paths to being a good team. Like, they have, you could go the Green path, you could go the Şengün path, you could go combine all of these and go trade for an, you know what? The Pistons have put themselves in a situation where there's just not that many paths, and the most potential one, the most realistic one, is the path of Cade Cunningham. And so that's where I think, again, I don't think they have a choice. And you guys are like, you can't piss Cade off. Like, I'm sorry, I don't, you cannot do that. There's too much bad juju around this organization right now. You can't take your former number one pick, the guy you kind of pegged as face of the franchise, and go play the restricted free agency game and make him mad, Steven. I don't think that's good business.
Yeah. Okay. What about Quentin Grimes? I mean, obviously, he's not as cut. And Bryce is, of course, rolling his eyes now. So,
go ahead.
So, I actually think it might have been Sam Vecenie. Bryce is, you know, from the Game Theory podcast that Bryce frequently goes on with, that basically said Quentin Grimes was the best asset acquired at the trade deadline, this past trade deadline. I admittedly don't watch nearly as much Pistons as Bryce does, or as much as I would even like to. But I mean, it doesn't seem like Quentin Grimes has really, you know, lived up to that billing in terms of being the best asset traded at the deadline.
I mean, yeah, he only played six games. Like, it's been some lingering knee issue. And in those six games, quite frankly, guys, he hasn't been good at all. Like, he did not shoot the ball well. The idea of Quentin Grimes is very exciting. My guess is, this is one that you could play with a little bit. Like, depending on what he would ask for. I have no idea what Quentin Grimes would want in terms of an extension or whatever, but this is one I would rather let it play out next season. And if it hits restricted free agency and all of that, I'm a little more comfortable with that. So, yeah, like, this is not one where I'm trying to rush it. You know, they gave up Boyan and Burks. Like, that trade looks significantly, like, not that big of a deal all of a sudden. I mean, here's the thing, guys. Malachi Flynn dropped 50 the other night. Quentin Grimes has only scored 32 points as a Piston. So Malachi Flynn upped him by 18 in that one performance. But, like, Burks and Boyan haven't been good for the Knicks necessarily. Grimes hasn't played for the Pistons. There were some trade assets there. I wouldn't be in a rush with Grimes this summer.
Okay, Corbin, anything to add on Grimes? You agree that he should just kind of, they should play the year out and then go to restricted free agency and do that dance with them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything you said, not that Grimes had a bad season, I'm not trying to say, but, like, the sample size hasn't been that big. Like, I'm not, like, you're definitely, I don't want to say disrespectfully, like, you're not a priority in that, right? Like, Kate, you've seen it, you've known, like, at this point, you want better health, but boom. Grimes, he's been fine. Like, I think, like, he's been fine, right? But it's, one of those things where, yeah, play it out. See the interest out there. If it's way too much, yeah, he's not a player I'm going to be like, wow, like, you know, we had to pay the money. Like, we had to overspend. You don't, in my mind, right? So see what offers come in and kind of gauge that. While keeping open communication with him, like, hey, we're going to let this go in and see what happens. I think he'll understand, like, given his situation with the Knicks, where he was, everything going in, like, it's a fill-out process. This rest of the season's been that, and the offseason will continue to be that.
I will note that, let's say, I'm trying to think, what was Nassir Little's extension last year? Was it four for 32, like $8 million a year? That's around something that if I could get Quentin Grimes for and I'm Troy Weaver, I'd be pretty happy with it. Four for 28. That's even better than what I thought.
So, Steven, if you tell me that you can get Grimes for something like that, then I would do it because he, like, as you said, Corbin, he has shown an ability to be a good basketball player, right? Like, we've seen him actually make shots and be a good defender. Like, I just haven't seen it on the Pistons because it didn't make shots in the six games he did play. Steven, I'm just assuming that, like, Grimes is going to say, hey, I'm a better player than that. I'll show you over the 82 games next season how good I am. So I just assume that, like, if they could get, like, a quote-unquote hometown discount or whatever, yeah, I would do that with Detroit at a certain price, absolutely, and lock that in. I guess I'm just kind of under the assumption that Grimes would rather say, no, I'm good. I'll prove my worth next year with your team, so.
No, and I think I'm in the same boat in terms of I don't think Grimes would take it. I'm just more so, hey, this is what I would be willing
sure.
to do.
Yeah.
Okay, in terms of the draft pick, Pistons, assuming they end up with the worst record in the league, will be guaranteed a top five pick. And this draft where, Bryce, I know you're obviously a big proponent of the draft. Corbin, I know you've been, you know, more than you have been in the past. Obviously, I know you've been doing your research.
Yep.
So this draft seems to be one where, you know, if there's a draft to, like, trade down, it's probably this one because there's not a whole big difference between 1 and 5 this year.
Yeah.
Depending who you ask, of course. So, Bryce, the Pistons have, let's see, about a 48% chance at it being the fifth pick and about a 52% chance somewhere that's the top four. Who exactly do you think fits, you know, this Pistons squad? Obviously, there's Cade, there's Jaden Ivey, there's Assar Thompson. And I wouldn't even say Isaiah Stewart is a building block. I don't even know if he's on the team next year. But then to say Jalen Doran. So if those are your four building blocks, I mean, you still obviously have to go best player available because they're not far along enough in the process to, you know, kind of pick and choose based off position. But, I mean, in your ideal draft, who do the Pistons get in with that top five pick?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because there isn't a guy that just, like, I actually am Alex Sarr is the number one prospect in this class. And if there is a guy that maybe there is some overlap in terms of that core, it is him and Jalen Duren, depending on what you think Alex Sarr can be. I think eventually the offensive game rounds out where he can play a little more on the perimeter and maybe you could play those guys together. But, you know, that's also, we probably need to have a conversation about this core four and, you know, what people actually think in terms of Jaden Ivey's future specifically. Cause I think that's starting to change a little bit, at least with the fan base. And I do have some thoughts on that. Ideally it's a wing. So whether that's, if you're a Zachary Risache guy, if you're a Montas Bazelis guy, you know, if they fall a little bit lower, maybe it's even Dalton Knecht at Tennessee who just comes in. Like, Dalton Knecht makes a lot of sense in terms of this team just needs floor spacers around Cade, and especially if it's Cade and Ivy, and if Asar's out there, he can't shoot at all right now. So again, floor spacing is nice. And so I think Knecht is the guy that makes sense and maybe not quite as much upside, but he really spaces the floor. Risache, obviously a very young player, just 18 right now, but ideally 3-and-D wing. Bouzelis got a little bit more all-around game, but the shooting wasn't that good this year with the Ignite. You know, a couple other names, you guys, but like Cody Williams, I'm a little bit lower on. You know, if you get into like Reed Shepherd, then it's like, does he start? What do you do with Ivy? So I think a wing, like a true 3-and-D wing is what, multiple 3-and-D wings is what this team needs this offseason.
What about Stephon Castle? I know you said 3-and-D, and he doesn't totally have the 3 yet. But
I would argue he doesn't have the 3 at all yet. Okay. I'm a little, maybe that's harsh. There was questions about the shooting coming out of high school. I've watched 4 minutes of the national championship game before we started recording. He literally just turned the ball over because he turned down a wide open corner catch and shoot to attack the closeout and then traveled because the closeout was short and there was no closeout to attack. I know people got excited about the two he made, and he's probably made two now as we're recording to make me sound like an idiot here, but there's real questions. I love every other aspect of his game. He might be the best perimeter defender in this upper echelon of the draft, like in the lottery. I just would be concerned. Jaden Ivey doesn't shoot the three that well. Assar doesn't shoot the three at all. Durin doesn't shoot the three at all. Cade's just rounding out. Adding another non-shooter, Steven, would make me a little bit nervous.
Okay, Corbin, in terms of the Pistons, I mean, what do you think regarding the philosophy of you had to take best player available? They're clearly not far along enough to kind of pick and choose based off positional need, basically. So do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, it's simple to me. Like, Bronny Jenkins. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm just lying. Like, ultimately, I'm with Bryce. Like, it's tough.
I was not expecting that. Like, you get the occasional joke about who somebody's going to draft.
Yeah.
I was not expecting the Bronny James. We've talked so much Bronny James on Game Theory. The kid is a draft prospect eventually. Mm-hmm. We don't need to get into it.
I'm with you.
Well played.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But no, I'm with you. Like, it's hard because you're right. Like, his best talent available. And like, we've given like three, like shout against the Game Theory podcast. I love them. Like, as far as the draft content, obviously, Steven, your own, you know, shout out to your own podcast for draft content. Like, I'm somebody who is starting to get more into producing it, but I am a sucker for consuming it, like all of it. And so it kind of helps me to get my own opinions, whether I agree, disagree, maybe check myself if, like, you know, I obviously text Bryce, be like, oh, I don't know about this pick, whatever the case may be. But going back to like who to pick, yeah, like I'm not, I feel like Bryce said, Alexander Sarr, because of just what he provides as a player, like being more arguably the better player in this draft. I can't say I'm super high on this draft. I can't say he fits the needs that Detroit has. He's just the better player, right? I would, if I could wrap my head around making the argument for it, I would say Zachary Richesha. And I would say it because in my mind, like, yes, he's not really good creation, like, you know, off the dribble, anything like that, but a shooter, like you said, a 3-and-D shooter. Like, Ron Holland, as much as I'm high on him, the dude cannot shoot, right? Like you said, Steven, like, or like Bryce said about Stephon Castle, I'm also not on the Stephon Castle being a 3-point shooting, bro. Like, I'm just not. Like, I need to see it beforehand. Otherwise, right now, it's like, I don't know, Dennis Smith Jr., Chris Dunn, like those type of guards that were like all defensive level players in college and like were iffy shooters. Dennis Smith, maybe not the best example. Point being, like, I'm just not sold on his jump shot. And the fact that I've seen it too in some of these games, he hasn't had the confidence of taking it. If you don't have it right now, I don't know. I'm not projecting that to be something that immediately improves. And so then you have another person who is going to be a guard level player who needs to take minutes away to be on the floor, but can't provide anything offensively. And defensively, he's still going to be a rookie. There's still going to be some adjustment, right? So ultimately, it's tough. I just say Richesha because you're looking for the best player available, yes. But in my mind, at this point, we also need to have like an attribute that's actually going to help this team right now. Not that Sarr wouldn't, but shooting is just Bryce, listen, bless you for watching these games because like Steven said, like, you don't have the time, and Steven, you're doing all the things. I've also been busy, but not during my free time. Like, let's watch some Detroit. No, like, it's rough. It's just a rough watch right now.
Yeah, no, and what I will say, Steven, I agree with you. The Pistons are not in like draft for fit mode. The thing with this draft is, though, there's not a whole lot of tier breaks. And so at the end of the day, you might have 10 guys kind of in the first tier. So then my draft philosophy is, as long as you're within the tier, then you can draft for fit. And so, like, that's where it makes a little more sense to me in terms of, okay, Sarr may be the number one guy, but is he that much better than this guy or this guy or this guy? Now, some days I lean that way that he is. Like, you just draft Sarr no matter what, but I'm not quite sure there. So because there's no, like, just dominant players, the tier, you know, there's not just two here and then two. Like, last year it was Victor or nobody, right, at number one. And then after that, exactly. And so between Scoot and Brandon Miller, you can draft for fit, right? But you're not going to go draft Amin Thompson because that was in a different tier. This year, I think you can have 7, 8, 9 guys essentially in that first tier.
Okay. Yeah, definitely makes sense. And it will be interesting to see Pistons and the Spurs, I think, are the two teams I'm most interested in terms of the draft. Spurs might have 2 top 7 picks for all we know.
Yeah.
Let's move on to free agency.
Okay.
So the Pistons, the two free agents I really wanted to talk about are the Pistons' own free agents. Okay. Simone Tecchio is the one, I think, realistic guy that they plan on re-signing and see him as a piece of the future. Obviously, they gave up, I think,
the first pick.
Yeah, high chance to get him. And so basically, and the other guy was James Wiseman, who I never really was a big fan of. I didn't like when the Pistons traded for him. I didn't like when the Warriors drafted him. Grace, I might be missing somebody that you think maybe might be a piece of the future. I put Malachi Flynn on here as well, but I think that's just more recency bias than anything else.
Fontecchio's the guy. Fontecchio's that's a real asset, right? Like, it's a weak draft, but still, pick 31's a real asset. So you trade away a second round pick. I'm just interested. Like, they have to bring him back. He was too good in the games that he played for this team. And like, you could just see how it opened things up for somebody like Cade Cunningham. I'm just interested to see what the money is. Like, what is it going to cost to keep him as a restricted free agent? So I think no doubt Simone Fontecchio is on this team next year. That's definitely the one. Wiseman, he has some fans. People go back and forth with him. I don't know that I'm super interested in, it's a restricted free agency thing. I would almost tell James Wiseman, like, hey, go see what you can get. And when he gets that, if we like it, we'll match. If not, that's just going to be a trade. You got to feel like you lost. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, I don't think Sadiq Bey is a game changer, but he's a wing that can knock down threes at a decent rate. And shout out Sadiq Bey. Like, hopefully he recovers quickly. Like, that sucks that he got hurt whenever he did, tearing his ACL. But I think at best Wiseman ends up as your fifth big, your third center, like fifth of all of your bigs. Not really like in a two deep rotation. So at the right price, that would make sense to bring him back. He's had flashes where he's defended the rim well, finished well, has some chemistry with Cade in the lob, pick and roll. But I'm not gonna Marvin Bagley this one.
I was just going to say, so you don't want to sign him. What did you sign Marvin Bagley for?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, when they signed Marvin Bagley, we all knew it was an overpay, but it also wasn't crippling. Here's the difference, guys. This team is going to start paying people, right? Like, we just talked about giving Cade the rookie max extension, and then coming up next year could be Ivy or Durin. If they go spin big in free agency, maybe you make a trade. So, like, eventually those moves do matter. Like, the Marvin Bagley thing ended up not really mattering because – they weren't trying to compete yet. I'm not saying it was good process. Like, don't get me wrong. It was not good process. I'm just saying it didn't cripple you. You can't continue to make those mistakes. Like, the one hope right now for Troy Weaver is he has learned from all of the mistakes he's made over the last 3 or 4 years.
So, Ruben, thoughts on James Wiseman and thoughts on Simone Fontecchio and Detroit keeping him?
I'm going to answer that real quick. I know you're probably going to circle back on this too, Stephen. I actually have thoughts on, like, whether Troy Weaver will be like there.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
But going back to what you said, I think Fontecchio, yeah, you keep him. I think, again, like, he's the archetype of player that you do need. I think he's only 30, 31. He'll be 31 next season. Like, right? I think.
No. He's younger than that. He's like 28.
He is? Oh, wow. I'm getting mixed up with, wow. I'm getting mixed up with the guy from, he's 28 too, Sacramento. Vizenkov. Yeah. Vizenkov. Okay. So I don't know who I said was 30. Forget it. Point being, yes, like you said, like, he's a guy who I think kind of fits, has a role, definitely gotten some, let's say, up until recently, minutes, right? And provides.
Well, he's been out, like, he had a turf toe or something like that. So he played really well in his 16 games, and then
just under 40% from three. That's not bad.
Essentially they kind of shut him down or whatever. So
okay. So there you go. Yeah, like that's solid. I mean, as far as like what he provided, and I think moving forward, yeah, why not? Like, there's value there for having like a stretch big, and again, any spacing like on the team, and like Bryce said, he did perform. I think it'd be interesting with James Wiseman. I definitely, when I said don't overthink it for Kate, think about it for James. and he's played well. Like, I mean, he's played well moments that I've seen. He's been okay. Definitely not. And I get it. Like, that's going to be such an interesting draft to look back on, just the thought process between Wiseman, between Edwards, between LaMelo. That's going to be that 2020 class, like, much to dissect there in terms of process and all of that. But where he fits now, I think, is serviceable big man. I think, replacement level, and I hate to say that disrespectfully, I'm not trying to, but, like, I, I think you could find a guy like a Wiseman.
Hey, don't forget Killian Hayes in that 2020 NBA draft.
Oh, wow. Yes. And he, thank you. I totally forgot about him. Listen, the one thing I'm happy about the 2020 class is I was so high on Ant, like from the jump. Mind you, he is my weakness. He's my archetype player I like. But I was like, forget the haters. He's going to be great. Now I'm like, yes. Now, did I miss on everything else? Yes. But I forgot Killian Hayes. Wow. And went from that to out the league, right in the same team.
Yep.
Steven, I'm sorry. I just want to ask a question. Bryce, what went wrong? Like, from you've seen every game, what went wrong with Killian Hayes in Detroit?
And I will say, like, I guess I'll, whenever Corbin says I've seen every, like, I literally do watch every single second of every single game. I would say over the last 4 years, I've watched 99.9% of Detroit Pistons basketball. So I feel pretty confident I watched every second of Killian Hayes' career and then, you know, Cade and Isaiah Stewart and et cetera. I think the biggest thing for Killian was confidence. I really think that was the big, like, there was skill level stuff that was a question mark. He wasn't great with his right hand, couldn't figure out his floor spacing, his shooting. But then he would have these games where you could see it. He was a good quality defender, especially for his size. You could just see the lack of confidence at times. And then every once in a while, he'd get it for 2 or 3 weeks, and you're like, oh, here we go. It's weird. I think Killian Hayes could be a perfectly quality backup point guard in the NBA. But it's like coming off the bench crushed his confidence. So he was a guy that played better as a starter, but even then it wasn't starter quality production. So it's like, hey, if we can take this player and bring him off the bench for 22 minutes, this is awesome. But then when you moved him back to the bench to do that, then he became the unconfident, you know, doesn't take contact. And this thing, he never got to the rim and drew fouls and all of that stuff. So it just, it was some skill level stuff, but I really felt like with Killian, there was just a lot of confidence. I've always wanted to see him with a different organization to see if, like, new place, new vibes, whatever, if he could get it going. I don't know if he'll get his chance or not, Steven.
I would love San Antonio to take a shot on Killian Hayes.
They absolutely need to play
the ball. Yeah. That's the team I really peg for.
Makes sense.
Killian Hayes' destination. So, okay, let's move on to free agency. For Fontecchio, I actually put in the show notes, maybe his contract starts at $8 million a year. The more we're talking about it, the more I think that's an underpay. He might be getting, you know, close to $10, $11 million starting contract for a 3 to 4 year deal. Again, he has a little cap hold, so Detroit will make all the procedural moves and do that at the end. So, we talked a very little bit before we started the show tonight about, is Detroit going to kind of do what Houston did last year in terms of they have all this cap space, they're coming off a horrendous year, do they just, you know, kind of sign veterans with that cap space and not worry as much about rebuilding and tanking as they have because they have some of the young infrastructure in place and now it's time for them to start winning. And similar, Troy Weaver's job might be on the line just like Raphael Stone's was with Houston. And you saw he went in, made those moves, and Houston was respectable this year. They were more than respectable this year.
Yeah.
So I have a whole list of free agents. I'm not going to read all of them, but Bryce and Corbin do have it. The two guys I do want to discuss are the guys who I put in Tier A, which would be Tobias Harris, who apparently the Pistons did have some trade interest in at the trade deadline this year, and Miles Bridges, who obviously has some warts, who I don't know what the Hornets are planning on doing with him. And he's obviously has the Michigan connection. I mean, and they're both the archetype of player that the Pistons could use. I mean, would a guy like that, they're the only really two that stuck out to me in terms of, okay, if the Pistons are going to offer, you know, $20+ million to a guy, these would be the two guys to make the most sense.
So Tobias Harris is one, like, I think Tobias Harris should be like a plan B or plan C for the Pistons, where if none of this other stuff hits, maybe you offer Tobias Harris like the Bruce Brown contract, where it's like 1+1 team option on the second year. Maybe you overpay, but as you know, friend of the pods, Keith Smith has told me from day one, you can't overpay on a 1 year contract for a rebuilding team. Like that's not really a thing. It's the old, it was JJ Redick that did it with the 76ers. So like if at the end of the day, that's what the Pistons end up doing and it has to be Tobias Harris for 1 year on an overpay, I'm not going to be excited about it. I'm not going to love it. It's not a home run, but I could understand it, right? Like you bring in somebody that's better than what you have and you push the cap space to the next year still. Like, I don't want to go too far into this. Like I'm just kind of out on Miles Bridges. Like that's a bigger conversation. I get it. I will say this, if we're strictly talking basketball on the court, all of that, and we put everything else aside, yeah, he would make a lot of sense. There's part of me that's wondered if he was kind of the plan going back a couple of years ago before all of his off the court stuff happened because of the Michigan ties and all of that. So that's kind of where I would be on those two guys specifically. And every Pistons fan will tell you, like, that's why they're so upset every time people say, oh, they have $60 million in cap space. Pistons fans will be quick to tell you, so what are they going to do with it? You know, like, who's the name out there that's really, I think what they're going to have to do is they got to win on the margins. They got to find the two or three perfect pieces to come in and build this thing out, unless there's some big trade that I just don't foresee. Excuse me, guys, that I don't foresee here in this offseason.
So, Corbin, hold your thought for 1 second on Tobias Harris and Bridges.
Sounds good.
What about a guy, Bryce, like I had on here, D'Anthony Melton could be this year's Dylan Brooks in terms of, like, what did Brooks get? 3 years, $20 million, something starting like 20 mil, like three for 60-something? I could see them overpaying for a guy like D'Anthony Melton, a 3-and-D guy who's still on the smaller side but could play the three alongside Cade or relieve Ivy in spurts. Put maybe playing with Cade and Assault to give you a little bit more size. Grayson Allen, I know that's a guy you and Sam talked about, and Sam said he is going to get paid $20 million. That's a guy that Detroit should target. And then I have other guys. Malik Monk, I think, is kind of in that tier. Buddy Hield, Bruce Brown, any of those guys. I mean, what do you think of that tier of guy for even Detroit maybe to sign two of them?
Yeah, no, like, listen, Malik Monk probably doesn't make as much of sense because he doesn't have as much of the defensive stuff. I think Monk makes sense if you're going to, like, move Jaden Ivey to the bench or trade Jaden Ivey or something like that. And again, we probably need to touch on that quickly at some point, just the Jaden Ivey stuff. You know, Grayson Allen makes sense. D'Anthony Melton makes sense. I think where this really comes down to, though, guys, is, okay, if you're going to do that, do they start? If they start, does that mean Cade plays the three defensively, which I've always been a little more okay with, but other people really push back on? You know, you have Grimes in the second unit, so, like, he's taking that spot of kind of the similar archetype of these type of guys. So I one thing I want to point out before you go to Corbin and whatever, like, this team has, like, eight dudes that they have invested a little bit in to be part of the rotation. You mentioned the core four, right, of Cade, Ivy, Assar, Duren. Isaiah Stewart is somebody the organization speaks extremely highly of. We can talk about that. Marcus Sasser, they traded up to draft in the first round last season. Simone Fontecchio, we just talked about, and they traded for Quentin Grimes. That's eight guys already that you are theoretically penciling in to a rotation. They have a top five pick. You want that guy to play somewhere. So, like, what gives is my point. Do they get rid of some of these guys? Do they consolidate a trade? Do they just not go out and sign as many guys? Like, something is going to have to happen if they upgrade the roster with free agencies, but also play all of these guys they've invested in. So that's why it makes it very fascinating.
Okay, Corbin, any of those guys we just talked about stick out to you?
No, I'm not going to lie. I mean, Malik Monk is my guy. Like, shout out to him. Wish Lakers could have kept him, but we know how that went down. Like, you know, that's a guy I think would stand out. Like you mentioned with Grayson Allen, agreed. I mean, he's going to get some money. And I think with the way he's been shooting the ball and defending pretty decent, like he should. Miles Bridges, like Bryce said, like, off the court, everything's been said, all right? That can be said. It's like, yeah, it's horrible, right? On the court, I'm not quite the Bryce Simon of the Charlotte Hornets, but I've watched a lot of Hornets basketball the last 2 years. And I got to say, like, I also don't know how I feel about Miles Bridges is a fit, like, as a fit as a main guy. If he was to come into Detroit and be like a third, fourth guy,
sure,
that would be ideal. But, like, him playing the role he's been playing in Charlotte is, like, your second best to best player. No, like, he has also a little bit of athleticism. Like, sitting out that year, obviously rightfully deserved even more. Like, he does seem a little out of it there. Defensively, he's been hit or miss. His mid-range jumper has been kind of weird. His three-point shots come and gone. Like, he's a very solid player. Don't get it twisted at all. But he's not the type of player he was 2 years ago when the numbers of what he would get in restricted free agency were really high. So that's just what I've seen. And as the usage has gone up for him, he's had some really monster games for Charlotte for sure over this past season. And he's had some games where, no, like, the mid-range game is atrophied for sure. Like, I don't know what's happened there. You know what I mean? A three-point shot is still fairly solid, but I just wouldn't want him to come to Detroit and obviously give Detroit all the backlash of all of that, but also not be the level of player that fans probably think that he is now, right? As far as Tobias Harris, listen, I didn't understand it when they were trading for him. I don't understand it now. The ship has sailed. Like, he played for Detroit when he was younger and better, you know? Now he's catching strays. I don't know if y'all saw this. It's on Twitter. The sandwich, the bami, is that how you say it?
I think so.
Anyway, it was they were interviewing a owner of the shop, and she was like, yeah, you know, Philly, like, we love it, you know, we are passionate people, you know, we cheer for our squad, and like if they mess up, we boo them because we want them to be better. Like, and then she literally said, like, if Tobias Harris misses a shot, we boo him because we want to be better and not be slacking out there. And I was like, dang, like, it wasn't about basketball at all, but Tobias Harris is catching strays. But bottom line, no. I wouldn't like it. And like, I wouldn't even like it for an overpay. Like, at this point, like, I don't, not, he's a very solid guy from all accounts and everything there. But where the Pistons are right now, like, you need to play young guys and you need to have guys who are going to step up and be, if you're going to bring older people in, like, the vets are cool if they're not playing at all, or they have to be substantially better in my mind than the guys that they're going to be playing over. And I think Tobias Harris is in that sweet spot where he's not quite a vet going to be sitting down just acquiescing minutes to the younger guys, but he's not that much better than them in a demonstrative of a way, in my opinion, where it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That's all. So yeah, I honestly think right now, like, really going for the young guys, maybe mindset, I don't know if that's coaching, whatever the case may be, of like getting the team more schematically like there, you know, and trying to get talent around the margins, but not any big, what, like Bryce said, what big swings are there to have? And just throwing a bunch of money at one or two guys, even as overpays, no, I'm just not with it if they're not that much better of an addition.
So the other guys I have listed, I mean, guys like Bruce Brown, Gary Trent Jr., Kyle Anderson, Najee Marshall, Caleb, those are the type of guys I envision, you know, Detroit kind of going after. Maybe a little bit of an overpay for those guys. But the one thing I'm looking at is how Detroit kind of plays a restricted free agency market. We saw the Brooklyn Nets, where they were kings at this years ago. With, like, Tyler Johnson, they did it. I believe they did it with one other guy as well, basically making teams... they did it with Otto Porter as well, was the other one. And, you know, made these teams really match their contracts to overpay to get them. So, like, I could see Detroit throwing a bag at, like, an Obi Toppin or Patrick Williams and telling the Pacers or the Bulls, hey, you want to keep this guy, you're going to have to pay, you know, starting $20-plus million, which I think they'll both get close to $20 million anyway. But... maybe a slight overpay for Detroit just to try to get these teams to match, but that's another, you know, tactic I think they might utilize for their cap space. So, Bryce, would either of those, I have Isaac Okoro and Max Christie on this list as well. Those are the four guys I have.
No, I mean, Toppin and Patrick Williams make sense just because, like, this team doesn't have a true four, man. Like, you look up and down the roster, Fontecchio can play the four, like, he has the size to do it, but I wouldn't say he's, like, your prototypical. We've been there, done that with Isaiah Stewart as a four-man. Again, he can do it a little bit, but I don't think ultimately that's what he's best at. Asar is kind of forced into being a four because he can't shoot. But again, like, this Toppin and Patrick Williams both would give you guys that kind of are prototypical fits in that role, whether it's in the starting lineup or off the bench. So, no, I think both of them are interesting names to say, like, hey, let's throw them a contract. And if, you know, Pacers balk or the Bulls balk at it and we end up with them, great. If not, well, we made those teams, you know, their cap lives a little bit harder. And so it's a little bit of a win-win. So yeah, both those names are somewhat intriguing. I think Patrick Williams a little bit more, just, you know, but yeah, I mean, I don't hate the idea of Obi Toppin, especially just because of, excuse me, where this team is at right now.
Okay, the last thing I'm going to mention is trade targets. Number one on that list I have is Zach LaVine. There was speculation that the Pistons around the trade deadline before LaVine was shut down for the year, that the Pistons, you know, had real interest in LaVine. I also thought they had a really good shot at going after Andrew Wiggins for Golden State to, you know, kind of be a cap casualty. Wiggins has played a little bit better since the trade deadline, and so has Golden State as a whole. But I thought that could have been a salary dump situation for Golden State, given their status as a second cap team. Other guys I have, Clint Capella and DeAndre Hunter. Atlanta, we know, is probably going to be dumping salary this summer. Naj Reid, Minnesota is going to be a tax team. They're probably going to try to get under. And a guy like John Collins. I mean, a lot of these guys on this list, maybe not Zach LaVine, but maybe everyone else would be more of a salary dump in terms, which LaVine basically would be a salary dump as well. But in terms of like, they could get an asset attached basically to utilize their cap space to take on one of these guys. I mean, I think that's a viable route, Bryce, but at the same time, at what point do you stop playing that game and start actually trying to compete at the same time?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, there's a few of these names that are interesting. Like, if you told me you can get Naz Reid for, like, nothing because the Timberwolves just need to get off his contract because of their situation and how much they're going to have to pay in luxury tax, like, all of a sudden, I'd be like, okay, you know, Troy Weaver played his cards right here. Naz Reid would be amazing for the Detroit. Amazing. Because they have no floor spacing bigs, and we know Reed can at least do that. And you know, like, defense, you know, whatever. But, like, that floor spacing would be nice. Here's what I've always said about Zach LaVine. The archetype of what Zach LaVine is, to me, is a really good fit next to Cade Cunningham. The archetype. Now, the thing is, Zach LaVine, injuries, contract, all of that is a different story. But I think a high-volume three-point shooter, big-time scorer, I actually think that's what needs to be there with Cade. Because I do think Cade likes to be a little bit more of a distributor than scorer at all times. Andrew Wiggins is interesting. Again, like, I know it would be technically a salary dump, but that's a very talented basketball player that if he can figure it out, I wonder if a lot of that is mentally with him. You know, if it clicks back into place, that looks like a really smart move. Hunter is the other name on this list that I'm like somewhat intrigued by. This may be recency bias. Like, he just cooked the Pistons the other night, like made every single jump shot and it looked so pure. Whereas like, this is the prototypical 3-and-D forward that this team needs. Obviously he doesn't shoot like that every night though, but those would be the names of what you wrote down there that would kind of interest me in some capacity.
Corbin, do any of these guys make sense for you in terms of, you know, maybe not even a salary dump? Again, Wiggins, I think, would be a salary dump just because how desperately Golden State needs to shed money, depending on what they do with Klay Thompson, of course. But which of these names do you think would make sense for Detroit? Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, DeAndre Hunter? And again, we already talked about the 3-and-D archetype that Detroit needs.
I mean, I like the flash that I've seen from DeAndre Hunter, right? Like, I think he's been pretty solid. Zach LaVine, I mean, you kind of know what you're going to get if he's healthy, right? Like, that's kind of the big thing. Otherwise, I would probably go with him. Wiggins, sure. I don't know. Wiggins is a lot going on, I'm sure, behind the scenes, like, in terms of availability, whether it's health or other stuff related. But, like, ultimately, I think Wiggins one of those guys who really shine on those really good teams that, like, he fills a role, right? Whether that is, you know, timely shooting, right? He's athleticism, things like that. Not saying he wouldn't play a role with Detroit. I just feel like he'd be like a, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but like a Tobias Harris light in Detroit in terms of a similar role. Like, I could just see him kind of fading back a little bit and not quite the personality and voice that would kind of take the lead of kind of being a guy that the younger guys can go around, even though he's only 28, 29. I just ultimately think if I had to rank it, I would go DeAndre Hunter, just kind of seen some flashes and think like he could fill a role of need. I think his three-point shot has gotten a little bit better. And I think as a forward, like, he'd be really solid. Then I would go LaVine. Then I would go Wiggins. Wiggins would be horrible there. I think I like that the least. But all of them, I mean, if you can, you know, get something back for it in addition. I mean, at this point, like, Detroit, I don't imagine they're going to be a demonstrably better team this season than last season. They're going to be as bad, hopefully. But they're still going to be a bad team, right? But if you can get, you know, some future assets to kind of look down the line with a guy who can marginally help you right now, and if anything, kind of help with the culture. And I think that's another thing to think about as well. Like, do these guys fit whatever culture you're trying to build? What is Detroit's culture? Like, these are much bigger things right now that I think you think about when you bring a guy in, because if you bring him in, like, you're not going to waive him. More than likely, he's going to be part of the team. And if he's already checked out, I mean, you already got Zach LaVine, like, out of Chicago when they were, you know, bad but trying to win. I mean, no disparaging of him, but just saying, like, again, how will he fit in Detroit? And I think that's some of the front office you have to consider as well.
Okay, the last point I'm going to make before we sign off. Monty Williams, obviously there's been speculation about, you know, they just hired him, and I think they gave him the biggest contract just about ever, most guaranteed money, I think it was.
At the time, and then I think it's been passed since, but yeah.
But either way. Monty Williams is obviously in the first year of a very expensive deal. There's been speculation about his job security. He said he's not going to agree to a buyout. And yeah, Troy Weaver, we already talked about, maybe his job is a little uncertain right now. And there's a guy like Jaden Ivey, who I love Jaden Ivey coming to the draft. I had him up there with, I know we went up there with Paolo and Chad and Jabari Smith. I think he was right there in terms of a prospect with all three of those guys. I actually think I had him above Chad and Paolo, which clearly was a mistake on my behalf. But I mean, what are the futures for those guys like?
So I would just say, I am not a reporter. I have no intel. I don't know anybody inside the organization. Everything I say is completely my perspective as an outsider. Like, I do a podcast with a Pistons beat writer. Omari doesn't tell me anything that he doesn't tell anybody else. So I just want to make that clear. My vibe is Jaden Ivey is not Monty Williams' vision of an off-ball guard in his system and playing off of Cade Cunningham. And I'm not even sure Cade Cunningham likes the archetype of player that Jaden Ivey is playing off of him. I am a big Jaden Ivey fan just in terms of who he is as a player. He has his own flaws in his own right, especially the three-point shooting, struggled to finish at the rim. There's defensive concerns. I don't think they trade Jaden Ivey this summer, but I wouldn't be surprised if something wouldn't happen, you know, by the deadline next year if things still aren't working, you know. And I think we'll get some of these answers based off the moves they do make. You know, like, he started the year coming off the bench. That's where Monty Williams started, you know, the season with Jaden Ivey. My feel is Monty will get another year, and my feel is Troy Weaver will get the offseason to prove himself. I wonder if there aren't some changes made, like maybe some reshuffling, some addition. My biggest worry, Corbin, you just said, what is the identity of this team, right? Like, you just said that. I have stood by that there's different paths and visions in this organization right now. I'm not sure Monty and Troy see the same ideas behind the roster building and how things all work together. And so my hope is they're able to get on the same page if there isn't something that happens. If Troy's not let go, if Monty's not bought out or whatever. I'm not sure. My vibe is that Weaver would go before Monty, but that may not be the case. Again, I don't have any inside intel into this stuff at all.
Corbin, anything to add?
No, I kind of got to take it from the person who watches the most and is there. Like, I think you're right. Like, it's one of those things where it's a lot of uncertainty, a lot more than I'd like for a team that's like trying to figure it out. Right. I think Bryce, you understand that too. I remember one line where y'all both said, obviously you could tell that me and Steven are both big game theory fans. It's like, where I ranked the young course. There you go. And like, yeah, the Pistons didn't make the top five and they've been rebuilding since before 2020. Like, that's not great. Not great, Chief. You know what I mean? So it's not cool where you are, you know, 4 years into a rebuild. You haven't even done like another rebuild of that rebuild. It's just a continuation of that, right? You still have questions about the coaching, like about Montu himself. Question about the front office and whether Troy Weaver is a fit. Some have questions about whether Cade Cunningham is your best player there. I think he's one of them, but some have questions about that. There's definitely a question about who the second best player is on that squad. There's a lot of holes around it, right? So like, even now we're going to offseason, we have a lot of money. Great. Where? Who? Like, you know what I mean? What guys are you looking forward to seeing the development from? That you haven't seen development from yet that you're really looking forward to seeing how they fit. You know, a lot of guys were like, I'm ready to talk about Jaden Ivey. We already talked about James Wiseman, like young guys on the team where not that Jaden Ivey's in that way, but James Wiseman, I meant Quentin Grimes. There you go. Guys on the team was like, we hope to see some, but we're not really rushing. These are young players. Like, this is you're trying to figure out what a core is, and there isn't a core. So all I have really is more exasperation and questions, like I'm sure Bryce and other Pistons fans can understand, of just like, wow, well, here we go in the offseason of questions. And hopefully, I think if the Pistons come out of this with any sense of direction that they can look at and go, okay, here's where we are. We're probably going to be 20 and 62, 25 and 57, but market improvement over the year before, I think that'll be a success.
Well, and that's I've just said, I think they have to pick a path and go. And I think you hit your wagon to Cade Cunningham. And, you know, listen, they got everybody wanted Dwayne Casey gone. They got rid of Dwayne Casey, and now everybody dislikes Monty Williams. Like, there's part of me, like, how often are we going to turn this thing over? So, like, there's part of me, roll with Cade, roll with Monty, figure out whether you think Troy Weaver has learned from his mistakes or not. Or maybe you think Monty completely mishandled the roster and, you need to go a different direction. But I think at some point, you just got to hitch your wagon to a few of these pieces and start moving forward with it, because right now they just continue to spin their wheels.
One final point I will note is that I wasn't big on what Houston did this offseason. I mean, I was like, okay, well, the Rockets, you know, it felt a little impatient, felt a little rushed to me. And then I was like, okay, well, Raphael Stone, is his job's on the line, so he's just pushing the chips in. I do think that if they did sign Brook Lopez, that definitely would have stunted a whole bunch of the Şengün growth.
Sure.
But otherwise, I think it worked out fine. They hired Udoka, they use the cap space well, they have a young team to build around, and it was April 7th and they were still in playoff contention for the play-in, and that's something they haven't had since they traded James Harden. So as much as I want to say the Pistons shouldn't go down the same path, maybe I hated it first just like I hated the Rockets, but looking back a year later in retrospect, I think the Rockets ended up, you know, they picked a direction and it actually ended up working out pretty well for them. We'll see how it plays out, but we'll see.
Yep.
So Bryce, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you would like to plug before you go?
Yeah, just real quick, at Motor City Hoops on Twitter. There's a lot of Pistons content, but I've really got into the NBA draft, NBA in general. I have a couple Substacks, so I have my own, the Motor City Hoops Substack, if you want Pistons specific stuff. And then the Basketball Bulletin by Keith Smith and Trevor Lane. I put all my scouting reports and then NBA game notes, that's just like my raw notes of games I watch. I put that on their Substack. The Pistons Pulse podcast is my podcast with Omari Sankofa II, brought to you by the Free Press, and then Game Theory with Sam Vecenie. So we're doing NBA awards tomorrow, guys, on Tuesday. And I am stressing because I don't like doing awards. And I'm like, who am I going to leave off? Who am I going to forget? Like, which one am I really going to blow with these awards in terms of having this guy ranked over that guy? But yeah, if you're into NBA, NBA draft, Game Theory is a great listen. Corbin, my guy, man, I appreciate you. Can't wait to see you in person again. Steven, it was nice to meet you. I appreciate you both for having me.
Are you in Summer League this year?
I go every year, man. That is a must.
See you there.
Yes, we'll definitely connect.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be there as well, so that'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Love it.
At least a couple of days. We'll see. Yes.
Corbin, plug whatever you need to plug.
Okay, for sure. Thank you. As always, Bryce, like I said, good to see you again, man. Good to listen to you. Look forward to just talking some more. Steven, again, I'm happy to be doing a series with you. Excited about talking about some more of these teams. You find me at Corbin NBA. Check out Roundball Ramble. I'm doing some more. Well, I gotta get that done now. Check out Swish Theory. We have NBA draft stuff and WNBA draft stuff coming. So whether or not I get my piece in or not, there's still some very talented writers and some very talented people there. Also doing some work with Next Pro. So if you're interested in young players, been going to different cities, kind of watching them. Was in Omaha this week. That was a lot of fun. Going to San Francisco Friday. That'll be a lot of fun. So doing some more of that. But just at Corbin NBA on Facebook, Instagram, not Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Love talking ball. And again, as always, a lot of fun with y'all.
And finally, you can follow me on Twitter at @_NBAGell. That's NBAGELL. You can follow me at Bird Rights Pod as well. This is obviously the Bird Rights Pod. Corbin and I are going to try to post 2 to 3 of these a week leading up to free agency, so be on the lookout for those and listen to your favorite team. Finally, listen to the One and Done, a college basketball podcast as well. Obviously, tonight's a national championship, but with the transfer portal and the coaching carousel and everything else going on in college basketball, you know, John and I are going to keep recording. And yeah, and go read me on the Lead SM as well. I just released an article about what went wrong with G League Ignite and the downfall of the program. So go check that out. And Corbin and I will talk to you next episode. Bryce, thank you so much for coming on.